Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Will. Thank you for his gift of preaching. And I just pray now that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit as he delivers a very sensitive message to the church tonight. And would you give us ears and hearts to receive it? And we just pray for your blessing on us and Will in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so I know there'll be some newcomers tonight. Basically, guys, we're in a series on the book of Proverbs, and I think I'm probably right in saying it's not really a book that, you know, if you decide to read a book in the Bible, you probably wouldn't choose the book of Proverbs, and although I have read it before, I've really had my eyes opened to it. Despite it being written thousands of years ago, it's like it was written yesterday, the way it can speak into our lives. And we've already looked at marrying well and being well married. Steve last time looked at parenting and relationships. And tonight we're going to look at what it has to offer us about marriage, not just marriage in general. When you read Proverbs, there's one aspect of marriage that it is most concerned about. Verse after verse, proverb after proverb, there is one topic that keeps on coming up over and over again, and it has to do with marital faithfulness. And not just any kind of faithfulness, but specifically sexual faithfulness. In other words, the topic of adultery. Okay, so trigger warning here. Okay, this isn't an easy topic. I completely understand that there will be a range of reactions here tonight. There will be people here tonight. I bet there's at least one person here tonight who is probably thinking about having an affair. There will be people here tonight, I know there are people here tonight, who have been on the receiving end of a partner who has had an adulterous affair and left them on their own. So there will be people here whose parents have split as the result of an adulterous affair. So I do understand I have to tread carefully tonight, but because there is so much on avoiding adultery in this book, in the Bible, I feel we really must cover it. I mean, it's just a shame that it's not me on leave and Danny preaching, and then I could have got away with it. And while I'm talking about wisdom, I'm convicted, because I did say to Flo Thornton that I'd mention a Rob Parsons event in Milton Keynes, which is called Wisdom, and it's Wisdom for Life, and I think that's coming up on the 18th of October. And if you're interested, I think Flo's got some tickets. If you're interested in going along to hear Rob Parsons, he's a very, very gifted communicator. Do see Ian and Flo at the end of the service. Yeah, so here we go. Whew. Now, the other thing I just want to say, this is written by a man for men. And it's really important you understand this isn't a cop-out now, but you honestly can transpose a man for a woman, him for her, throughout this. So, ladies, there's a lot of pictures painted about promiscuous, red-lipped, wonderfully attractive seductresses, okay? And I don't want you thinking that you're being, as a sex, being picked on, because actually, when we have language like that, just think beefy hunk with six-pack who's just done the Gillette advert. Okay, because honestly, you can honestly swap men, women, man, woman, him, her, in every single verse I am talking about. So please don't come up to me at the end and say that was really unfair. It was all about how dreadful women are. Okay, and the other thing is, I do understand there'll be people here who are not married who may be thinking, well, this has got nothing to do with me. And I would say to you that this will equip you, if God calls you to speak into the lives of other people. It could even be the lives of your parents. It could be your brothers and sisters when you catch wind of perhaps a relation of yours beginning to think bad things. So I do think that this has got something for all of us in it. So you can't switch off, okay? I want to challenge you to listen, because faithfulness really does affect all of us. Even if not personally, it will affect people we know and love. So it's good for us all to hear this. Now, the wisdom of Proverbs wants to give us, on adultery, things that can be brought out under four different headings. Okay, so the first one is the danger of adultery. The second one is the makeup of an adulterer. The third is how to guard your life against adultery. And fourthly is how to enrich your marriage in order to avoid adultery. So Proverbs is roughly around page 620 in your Bibles. But I'm going to be skipping around different verses. So from Proverbs chapter 2, 10 to 11 and 16 to 19. Let me read these verses to you. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. She has abandoned her husband and ignores the covenant she made before God. Entering her house leads to death. It is the road to the grave. The man who visits her is doomed. He will never reach the paths of life. Then this from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27, 29, and 32 to 35. I love this imagery. Can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch fire? Can he walk on hot coals and not blister his feet? So it is with the man who sleeps with another man's wife. He who embraces her will not go unpunished, but the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will never be erased. And finally, from the seventh chapter of Proverbs, verse 22, all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Do you see how seriously Proverbs takes the danger of adultery? Do you see from that imagery, that poetry, how serious it takes the danger of adultery? And it's because it leads to spiritual death and separation from God, punishment and self-destruction, relational conflict and enmity. And it's not just a fling, it's not just sex, it's more than that. You see, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of the mystery and wonder of sex and the sacredness of marital intimacy. It uses marriage imagery to describe our union with God through Christ. To violate that is to tear apart the very fabric of our spiritual life. And the problem is, our culture has so trivialized sex that nowadays it's nothing more than a physical act. But that is a lie. This is what we need to get across to our young people who are under the most horrendous pressure to have sex at even younger ages. You see, it's sacred ground, it's spiritual territory, and few things rip up a life more. And I think most of us know that. I don't think any of us needs to be convinced that adultery isn't the best plan for our lives. Nobody gets married and starts to planning to cheat on their wife or their husband. Actually, that's slightly untrue. I have met a couple of people where that has happened. But nobody wants to hurt their kids or end up in divorce, and nobody wants to hurt their spouse in the deepest and most violating way. So let's move on with the wisdom of how to avoid this in our life. And Proverbs gives us three very specific steps to take. Here they are. Stay away from adulterers. Guard your thoughts. And feed your marriage. So let's quickly look at those three. Proverbs chapter 5 says this. Stay away from her. don't go near the door of her house. I don't know if you remember when Danny kicked off this series, he repeated a story of R.T. Kendall, who we go and see when he speaks at Focus. And it doesn't matter what he's preaching on, the first thing he says to everybody is, I won't try the American accent. If there's a man here who is thinking about having an affair, stop it! Do you remember when Danny did that? And everyone went, oh, like this. But this is what it says. Stay away from her, exclamation mark. Don't go near the door of her house. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Stay away from people who are adulterous in nature. How do you know if someone is adulterous? Well, we've all watched films. Proverbs tells us, though, chapter 5, for the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave, for she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked road and doesn't realize it. Whoa. That's what to look for, basically. Those are the marks of a person given over to this form of unfaithfulness. So the first one is speech. The Bible says it's sweet and smooth and full of oil, meaning it greases the path. It's the kind of language that opens the door, plants a seed, offers a suggestion. This person might bring up inappropriate, very personal issues, sexual issues. They might make comments that can be taken one of two ways, slightly risque jokes, make admiring comments about how you look, flatter you profusely, and play to your ego. And we all have egos. And it is the most deadly thing when someone plays to your ego. One of the jobs I remember applying for, I was flattered into applying for a job that I should never have even looked at. But one person kept on saying to me, Will, you're so marvelous. This is exactly the right job for you. You know, you're God's anointed. You know, just flattery, flattery, flattery. I'm getting all puffed up. And I thought, right, I'll apply for this job. And I didn't get it. I crashed and burnt. Maybe this person will talk to you about your spouse in an unflattering way. Oh, gosh, your wife's not looking. Is she all right? I mean, she's looking really dreadful, isn't she? Or they might talk about their own spouse in an unflattering way. That is your first warning sign. The second mark is they promise nothing but joy, fulfillment, fun, escape, love, and intimacy. Interestingly, all things that, if we're not careful, can be in short supply, for example, when you have young children. You know, when we had three young children, and I might say to Lucia, come on, darling, you know, let's do something romantic tonight, let's go out, and she is totally exhausted, not having actually had a full night's sleep for about 5 years, and she looks at me saying, are you being serious? You want me to stay up late tonight doing something romantic? Okay, those are the danger times. So this person promises joy, fun, fulfillment, excitement, escape, love, and intimacy. The Bible tells us, but in the end she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. The key phrase here is in the end, which means that at the beginning, it's not bitter. At the beginning, it doesn't seem dangerous. At the beginning, it seems wonderful, which is the mark of all sin. Do you get that? It's the mark of all sin that when you get into it, it seems fine. It seems pleasurable. It seems it's going to bring you joy. It seems like there's nothing wrong with it at all, because sin never advertises its consequences. It never parades about what it's going to do to your life. It's always good. It's always pleasurable. It's always fun. It's like buy now, pay later, if you have to pay at all. But that's what you look out for. It's when someone tries to make it seem like something you know is bad is somehow good. The apple with Adam and Eve, which they were told was going to bring death, is something good. When you run into that, flee. The third descriptive mark is that this person gives no thought to their way of life. They are without conscience, they rationalize, and they are brazen. Okay, one way of rationalizing this could be, well, my husband or wife had an affair, therefore it's okay for me to have an affair with someone else's husband and wife. They are brazen. They have an "I dare you to tell me this is wrong" spirit about them. Who do they think they are judging me? They don't blush. Now look at how this is described in Proverbs 30, verse 20. An adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, "I've done nothing wrong." See, finally, in most adulterous relationships, there is an initiator. There is someone taking the lead. And whilst adultery always takes two, there is usually someone who is in the lead, someone trying to make it happen. And the classic mark of the adulterer is someone who's trying to get you to commit adultery. Now, I know we don't run into too many people who come up to us and say, "Hey, should we have an affair?" It's much more subtle than that. What you will meet are people who are open to one, maybe looking for one, maybe being drawn to an affair. And they are the people who will lead you, who will coerce you, influence you, tempt you to sexual unfaithfulness. They may be people who know they are attractive to you, people who prey off your weaknesses, perhaps a lack of self-confidence, wanting those compliments, people who seduce. And the wisdom of the Bible is clear. It is flee. Remove yourself from their presence, because you cannot slug it out with lust and win. Do you understand that? You cannot slug it out with lust and win. You will lose if you try. And the responsibility really rests with us. The wisdom of Proverbs is totally directed to those on the receiving end. And it says, stay away from these people at all costs. And then there's what you think. Guard your thoughts. Proverbs chapter 6. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. That is key, because adultery begins in the mind long before it ends up in the bed. In fact, it's been said that the most important sexual organ is our brain. Okay, that's why Jesus said something along the lines of, don't pat yourselves on the back if you haven't slept with a person you have been filling your mind with lust for. That's doing everything except consummating it. And I like the way Proverbs talks about this. It says, don't let her captivate you with her beauty. Meaning, it's a choice. You can let yourself, or you can't let yourself. You stop yourself, because you can dwell on someone. You can do the second glance, the third glance, the long look. You can initiate that fantasy. You can start mentally undressing somebody if you choose to do that. So it's a choice, and make no mistake, adultery begins with a choice, a glance, a look, a fantasy, a consideration. You may say, well, hey, Will, I just can't ignore looking at someone who is good looking and attractive. But this isn't what that is about. We all look at all sorts of people. And yes, we do look at attractive people we see. But there's nothing wrong with that first look. It's the second, the third, it's the mental undressing that is the problem here. I remember having it explained to me that it doesn't matter if you let a bird land on your head, but you mustn't let it make a nest in your head. That is what we're talking about here. You can look, but you choose to turn away. You know when you are polluting your heart. You know when you are giving in to lust. You know when you're taking it all in, letting it fill your mind and grip your emotions. Anybody who looks at pornography will know exactly what I'm talking about. So the wisdom is, stop it. And talking of pornography, well, it's like getting a 25-gallon can of petrol and pouring it over yourselves and then lighting a match and wondering why you've gone up in flames. That is how bad pornography is. Looking at pornography is adultery. If you're married and you're looking at somebody else who's naked and you're... Yeah, it is adultery. Don't do it. Get rid of anything like that. And if you're struggling in that area, there's all sorts of things you can buy. Firewalls, net, there's a software called NetNanny to stop you looking at certain sites, and it sends an alarm to somebody you choose to be accountable to. It's not just men, it's mainly men. And guys, if you are struggling in this area, you are committing adultery. Okay? Stop it and seek help. Come see me. Come speak to me. I can help you. Finally, feed your marriage. The third piece of wisdom is to feed your marriage. Proverbs chapter 5. Now, I'm using the Message translation here because the NIV is a little bit too racy, okay? I bet you're all turning to it now, aren't you? Proverbs chapter 5, 18 to 20. Okay, so I'm reading from the Message version here. A little less risque. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man, lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a whore, for dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? This is so key. Enjoy who you have married. Don't take them for granted. Invest in that relationship. Come and do the marriage course. Not sure quite when it will be running, but it's such an important thing to do, to give your marriage an MOT. Faithfulness isn't just about adultery. It's about making your marriage everything it was meant to be, being faithful to your spouse in terms of their needs. So reserve, set aside time for pleasure. Husband and wives should go out on dates. They should do things together for sheer fun. What that looks like changes as you get older. So when you're young, it's probably going out to a fancy restaurant and watching some film. I don't know, going out to a disco. Kind of when you get to my age, it's like a dog walk and blackberry picking. But now my wife is shaking her head here. Okay, that's what we do on my day off. Okay, we have a romantic day off, and we spend the whole day off together, even if it means me going to Aldi as well. Anyway, we need to keep the romantic fires burning. Okay, all sorts of ways of doing this. Candlelit dinners, unexpected trips, all that kind of stuff. And reserve time and energy for meaningful sexual activity. And work hard at fulfilling each other's sexual needs. That is so important. If any of you here have had the misfortune of enduring marriage preparation with me, this is something I say to the young couples, I say, right, cringe alert, okay? This is about to get really cringy now. And then I explain to them why it is so, why the Apostle Paul teaches people who are married not to withhold sex from their partner, unless it's for a time of prayer and fasting. Okay, it's so important. You need to work overtime at building up each other's self-esteem, talking about how proud you are of each other and looking for ways to compliment one another, because love requires care and discipline and investment. It's a choice. It's a choice. And do you know, I'm so passionate about this. You know, I look at these lovely young couples who are about to get married, Sophie and Ali, Ollie Goddard sitting some over there. And I have ministered particularly to women who have been on the receiving end of an unfaithful husband. And I have seen them in the fetal position where they haven't moved for hours and they've run out of tissues and they are just a sobbing, heaving wreck because their husband has gone out and had an affair and they've just found out. And when you have seen up close and intimate the damage that this break in trust causes, I will do anything to try and help people to avoid being in that situation. You just don't want to go there. Right, I have finished. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to say, if there's anyone here who's struggling in an adulterous affair, could they come up to the front and we'll pray for you? But you know what? In a funny sort of way, I think this really affects so many of us here. And so Tim and the band are going to come up, and I'm just going to invite you. Let's all stand now. And I was talking to some very holy and godly men after the morning service, and I just happened to say, oh my goodness, I was really convicted by my sermon. And these very mature, even more mature than me, Christian men just looked at me and said, yeah, me too. Me too, Will. And you know what? I don't think there's a man here who has not looked at another woman inappropriately at some time, has not entertained an idea of what it would be like to take things further. There will be people here who are about to get married, and wouldn't it be great if we could pray for them? That they would enjoy a lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship without the drama of an affair. It will be good to pray for people here tonight who have had an affair, have repented, have confessed it, repented, and have been forgiven. Just to pray protection over them. And that Satan never takes away that forgiveness from them, that cleansing from them, because nothing is impossible with God. And wouldn't it be good just to pray for the people here who are here on their own because their marriage is no more because of an adulterous affair? Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, all-loving God. Lord, you look down into our hearts now and you see us in our brokenness and in our sin. And we come to you now, Lord, and we confess all the thoughts we've thought that we should never have entertained, the things we have looked at that we should never have looked at. The words we've said that should never have crossed our lips. The things we've done that we should never have done. And we cry out to you, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray for your protection over young couples. Particularly those who are about to embark on marriage. Lord, may your angels stand guard over them all their days of their married lives. Lord, would you protect Christian marriages now? If there's anyone here who has been entertaining thoughts about a work colleague or someone they've met and has been thinking about how fun, how fulfilling, how joy-filled it would be to escape the drudgery of everyday life, escape the babies and the nappies, and just to go and have fun and sow a few wild oats. Lord, would you bring conviction by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name and cause them to run, Lord, to run and not to stop. And Father, we pray for healing now for those affected by affairs. Whether it's affairs of parents who are no longer married, spouses they are no longer with. Lord, come and bring your healing touch to broken hearts. And we pray for children, Lord, affected by adulterous affairs. Lord, would you bring healing to their precious tiny hearts, Lord? Come, Holy Spirit, come and minister to us, we pray.